I don't know about anybody else, but I sure love the music this time of year. And, you know, there's a part of me that hates how quickly it comes and goes, and people move on to other things. And so thank you for blessing us with that, Tony, and leading us in worship through song. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and we're going to be taking a look at verses 25 through 35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." The word of God for the people of God. I imagine if you were to make a list of things that you love to do, waiting would not make your list. Am I right? We don't like waiting. We don't like waiting in traffic. We don't like waiting in lines. We don't like waiting at the doctors. I've had to do that a lot lately. We just don't like it. And if we were, even when we have something that's worth waiting for, how many of us, if you're anything like me, would choose between going ahead and getting that thing that you want and not having to wait, or having to wait until you got it? If you're anything like me, you choose to skip the waiting and get right to business. In walks Simeon. He's been waiting a long time. We're not told how old he is, but tradition says he was 113 years old. And we're not told when he was given the prophecy by the Holy Spirit that he was going to see the Lord's Messiah. But I imagine it wasn't yesterday. I imagine it wasn't the day before Jesus walked in. So you can imagine Simeon having to wait. And having to wait quite a long time. And in the next section of scripture, you see Anna. She's somebody who waited day and night to see the Lord's Messiah. You see, whether it's for a promotion, a raise, a move to a new home, or a child we've longed to have, or a health issue to be resolved, we don't like to wait. We don't do well when we wait. So how do we keep it together? How do we keep it together like Simeon when we have to wait? When we have to wait for God's will to be revealed to us? Because if you haven't noticed by now, the purposes of God often develop slowly. Anybody ever experienced that? The purposes of God often develop slowly. It reminds me of this great New England preacher named Phillips Brooks, who understood this all too well. And he was noted for his poise and quiet manner. And he writes about how even he himself suffered moments of immense frustration. And one day he was pacing back and forth and back and forth, and in walked one of the congregation members, and they said, "Preacher, what in the world is going on?" And he said, "The trouble is, I'm in a hurry, but God's not." Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like you're the one in the hurry and you look around and you wonder, "God, what are you doing?" If I were the one orchestrating all of this, I would have had everything already taken care of by now. There'd be no fuss. We'd already be relaxing. I mean, if I were taking care of things, the Titans would already be in the playoffs. They wouldn't have to worry about tonight's game. But they have to worry. See, I imagine Simeon, this righteous and devout man, imagine how he felt as he waited. Imagine if you were sitting at the temple every single day, and as people walked in, you wondered, is this the Messiah? Is that the Messiah? I wonder if he's with this family. And just being on the lookout and being on edge. It's like when we have company coming over from out of town, and every time we hear, I've got a little dog that barks every time a car drives by, so every time my dog barks, I look out the window. I imagine it's quite a funny sight. I think Simeon would have been doing something similar with every person that came walking in, because he longed to see the Messiah come. But he also knew how to be patient, and he also knew how to wait. And we see in him a life that is pointed to Christ, whom he had never met and whom he had yet to see in the flesh. Now, what an amazing thing that is. So here you have a man, before Christ is even born, living a life pointed to Christ. And I think he shows us some things that we can take to heart about how we can live lives pointed to Christ. The first thing that we see is this, that a life pointed to Christ expects to see God's promises fulfilled. A life pointed to Christ expects to see God's promises fulfilled. They expect them to come to pass. Every life in Christ begins and ends in faith, in other words. If you want to have your life centered upon Christ, you've got to start with faith, you've got to have faith in the middle, and you've got to end with faith. It is all about faith. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone that comes to God must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I don't know about y'all, but in Simeon I see that kind of faith. I see somebody who knew that there was a reward for those who diligently seek the Lord. And he also knew that faith is about believing in something that is yet to come to pass. Hebrews 11:1 says it like this: faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How many of us today have been given a promise by God? Or we've seen God's promises in his word, and we've longed for those promises to happen in our own lives, and we're waiting, and God is waiting for us to believe, waiting for us to have faith, waiting for us to trust. There wasn't a hesitation in Simeon. We don't get that anywhere in the passage. He fully expected to see, just as the Holy Spirit had revealed to him, that he was going to get to see the Messiah. And so when he saw Christ, he immediately recognized him. But how many times do you think we miss out on seeing the promises of God come to life because we simply don't believe? And instead of simply being patient, we try to rush God's timing. Anybody ever done that? Anybody ever tried to hurry God up? Hurry God along? As you've had to wait, you tried to manipulate and manufacture things. But what if we saw being patient as a part of God's maturing of our own faith? What if waiting actually draws us closer to God than maybe we even realize? Would you welcome it then? I think about some of the greatest missionaries in history who have had to wait years and years to experience any fruits from their service. You know, you think about someone like William Carey, who had to wait 7 years before he saw a conversion from Hinduism into Christianity, where he went to serve in Burma. Imagine that. Imagine doing a ministry, being a missionary for 7 years and nothing happening. Would you give up? Would you be frustrated? And yet he kept persevering, and in that patience, he was matured, and the fruit, he got to see it because he didn't give up. You see, a life pointed to Christ expects to see God's promises fulfilled. A life pointed to Christ also trusts the Holy Spirit to discern God's truth. And this is where a lot of us get tripped up, right? Sometimes we struggle to believe that God's promises are going to come to pass. But sometimes it's not about us believing. We believe they're going to come to pass. We just don't recognize them when they do. Because what does God say? My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts higher than your thoughts. And so we get this idea in our head about how God's going to work. And then when he operates outside of that, we overlook it. And we miss out sometimes on what God is truly doing. Here you have Simeon. He's in the temple. There's a reason why all the Pharisees and the Sadducees missed out on Jesus. Because they were expecting one thing in the Messiah, and God gave them another. Right? Notice Simeon didn't miss out. Because he trusted the Holy Spirit to help him to know the moment that that Messiah was in his presence. And as he saw Christ, he knew there was no doubt in his mind. Simeon took him up in his arms, we're told in verse 28, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." In other words, my time serving at the watchtower is over. I can finally go and rest. But it was all because he trusted the Holy Spirit enough to help him discern God's truth. But what about you? Do you trust the Holy Spirit that much? Do you have that kind of relationship with him where when he makes promptings in your heart, you're able to recognize that? When he leads you, when he speaks through others, you're able to hear clearly what he's trying to say. Simeon went on to say, and by the way, this Messiah is not just for the people of Israel, but it's for the whole world, and it's for the Gentiles. He was able to perceive, even in that moment, he was able to discern that God's love is bigger than we could ever comprehend. And I imagine to others hearing in the temple courts, they were a little appalled by that. Because they wanted to lock God's love and his provision and his blessing into a box that was meant just for them. And yet here you have Simeon saying, no, it's for the whole world. When we think about God's love today, it's not for us here in this building. Yes, it's for us, but not just for us. It's for this whole neighborhood. And if all we do is take God's love and we keep it, then we're being more like the Pharisees and the Sadducees than we are like Simeon. And a part of trusting in the Holy Spirit is knowing when and knowing how to share God's love, how to share the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ with anyone and everyone who would see. And that leads us to our last thought. A life pointed to Christ searches for opportunities to activate their faith. They search for opportunities to activate their faith. Simeon was waiting and he was ready. Are you waiting and ready this morning? When you leave here, if God were to speak to you and say, I want you to share your faith right now with that person across the street, would you do it? Or would you be scared? If God said, I want you to go help that person who doesn't have anybody else, would you go and help them? Are you ready for your faith to become active? Simeon gives this amazing prophecy to Mary. The child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. I want you to know that is still just as true today as it was back then. The name of Jesus, it reveals people's hearts. Turn on the news sometime. I even listen to people talking about Christ. They can barely stand to mention his name. I watched a movie with Missy. I pointed this out at the end. At the very end of the movie, I don't remember which movie it is. She could probably tell you. They look up at the sky and they see this star, and he says, "That's what Christmas is all about, the Christmas star." And I wanted to hit the table and say, "No, it's about Jesus Christ." That star is what I would call a minor character in the Christmas story. All it does is lead some people to Christ, which is cool, but it's not what the Christmas story is all about. And then to hear in a movie that that's what the story is all about, I just shook my head. Missy can probably tell you what movie that is. I can't remember. But I was frustrated by it. But that's because they don't want to mention Jesus, do they? Because Jesus is still revealing people's hearts. Jesus is still causing the rising and falling of many. And so how do we keep our lives pointed to Christ in such a context and make our faith active and alive? You see, faith is not simply something you have. It's much more than that. It's not just a belief that Jesus is who he says he is. No, faith is meant to be active, and it is meant to be applied. And I want to share three insights about faith as we close. And we see Simeon living out each of these. The first thing we see is that faith operates best within your calling. Faith operates best within your calling. What was Simeon's calling? Simeon's calling was to be at the temple. Simeon's calling was to proclaim that the Messiah had come, and his faith operated best within his calling. The second thing we see is that faith always requires more than your gifting. Faith always requires more than your gifting. In fact, if your service is solely within your limitations, that doesn't require much faith at all. God always asks for more and then supplies all the gifting you need. Thirdly, faith touches lives in a way that bears fruit. What are we told about Mary after she heard the message? This was going to pierce her own soul too. Mary and Joseph rejoiced and were amazed at what they had heard. So were countless others. Apparently, so was Luke, because this story of Simeon is found within the Gospel of Luke. When you think about your faith during this season, Christmas has come, Christmas is gone. But where's your faith? Where's your heart? Where's your joy? I pray that it's in Christ. I pray that your life is all about him. And I pray in this next coming week, in this next coming month, that you will seek him. And that you will ask him, how can I direct my life to you? How can I make my heart all about you? Let us pray. Almighty God, we are far from perfect in keeping our lives pointed and directed towards you. We know that the enemy throws countless things in our lives and in our way, and they easily distract us and confound us. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be a faithful people. Lord, we pray that you would help us even in our unbelief and increase our faith as we trust you more and more. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.